We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Paul's epistle to the Colossians, and we'll consider this evening verses 1 to 5. Colossians chapter 3, and we could read again verses 1 to 5. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. What is a Christian? That's a very, very important question. A Christian is somebody who is under God's blessing in this life and will be blessed forever in heaven. A Christian is the opposite of the unconverted, of the worldly, of the ungodly. There's only two kinds of people in the world: those who are true Christians and those who are not. Those who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who are not. Those who are under God's blessing and those who are under His wrath and His curse. Those who are on the way to heaven and those who are on the way to hell. So what we have really is opposites. The Christian, the true Christian, the real Christian, is the opposite of everyone else. But then we look at the situation that confronts us today, and the reality is it's sometimes quite hard to tell the difference between the true Christian and the person who's not. Christians have become so worldly. There's very little self-denial in the lives of Christians. Christians are living like the ungodly, and you cannot tell the difference between somebody who is a Christian and someone who's not. It's almost as if Christians are saying to God, send us persecution. Send us troubles. Send us trials. Because when persecution and trouble comes, then you see who the Christian is and who is not a Christian. Remember the parable of the sower. Some seed fell on rocky ground, and some seed fell on good ground. And the seed that fell on rocky ground grew, just as the seed that fell on the good ground. But under the hot sun, what happened? The seed that fell on the rocky ground, because it had no depth of earth or root, it shriveled up and died. While the seed that was planted in the good ground, with the heat of the sun, it grew. When God sends His trials, these trials and troubles, they make the Christian grow. But the hypocrite, the pretend Christian, the half Christian as it were, they shrivel up and die. Too many people think that they're Christians, and they're not. And when they die, they'll open their eyes in hell, shocked. And too many true Christians are not as serious as they should be about their Christian faith. And they're asking God for his chastisement, his correction, his anger with them. I would like us tonight to look first of all at the marks of the true Christian, and then secondly to look at the implications of these marks. So first, the marks of the true Christian. And the first one that's given here is risen with Christ. Verse 1. If then ye be risen with Christ. Christ rose from the dead. The Christian also has risen from the dead. Those around us, they're dead. Dead in their sins. At one time you and I were dead too. But if we're true Christians, we've risen. We're resurrected. We're alive. By nature, by birth, we were dead in sins. Living in sin and dead to God. You know, you can be very religious and yet be dead, spiritually dead. You can be somebody who prays, somebody who goes to church, somebody who reads the Bible, somebody who thinks you're on the way to heaven, and you're still dead. Think of the Pharisees in the time of Jesus. They were extremely religious. They fasted 2 days every week. They were constantly in the temple and in the synagogue. They were always saying their prayers. They were keeping the commandments. They were so good living. They were so highly respected. They were so careful about their lives. And Jesus said to them, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Publicans and harlots will enter the kingdom of heaven before you." You see, we can have a formal kind of religion, a traditional sort of religion. We can be going through the motions and the practices of it, but it's dead. We've never risen from the dead. We've never been resurrected and born again. There's no love and excitement about our religion. It's just a dead practice. Practice of duties. So what about you? Are you risen with Christ? Do you have a living faith? Are you hungering for God? Thirsting for Him? Do you enjoy God? What does He mean to you? What does Jesus mean to you? What does your Christianity mean to you? So that's the first thing, the first mark of a Christian. They're risen. They were dead, but they're risen. Resurrected with Christ. Then you notice the second mark of the Christian is given in verse 3. For you are dead. You are dead. How can you be alive and dead? How can you be resurrected and dead? But that's exactly what the apostle is saying here. You are risen, you are resurrected, you are alive. And then he says you are dead. Risen to God and dead to sin. In one sense risen and in another sense dead. When you become a Christian, what do? You die. Your friends are looking at you and they see a change in you and they think, "I don't like what I'm seeing." And you die to them. Dead. dead to the world and its worldly entertainments and its worldly pleasures and its worldly excitement, dead to Satan as your master, dead to sin reigning over you. You are dead. You have died. You don't have to leave your old unconverted friends. They leave you. They look on you as dead. You have different values, different pleasures. You walk a different pathway. You talk a different kind of language. To the world, you're dead. Has this change taken place in your life then? Have you died? Have you died to the world? Died to the flesh? Died to the devil? It's a radical change. A dramatic change. It may take place slowly. Maybe perhaps imperceptibly. But the result is this. You end up dead. Dead to the world. A kind of incompatibility between you and the world. We don't live in graveyards, do we? We don't go talking to the dead in cemeteries. A cemetery is not a place to live in. And so as Christians, we're dead. Dead to that world. Alive to God. Alive to heaven. So that's the second mark then of the Christian. Christian is risen with Christ to a new life. And then second, dead to the old life. Dead to the world, the flesh and the devil. Third mark, verse 3. Your life is in heaven. Your life is hid with Christ in God. To begin with, your life was on earth, but now it's in heaven. To begin with, all your interests were earthly things, earthly enjoyments, earthly pleasures, earthly appetites. That's what you had. But now, your life is on a higher plane. It's in heaven. Your interests, your desires, your delights are in heaven. You are citizens of heaven. You live in this world. You work here. Your feet are in this world, as it were. Your hands are in the world. But where's your mind? Where's your heart? It's in heaven. Your life is in heaven. You have no heart for the earth and its pleasures. You have no heart for the earth and its honours and its wages. What you value is heaven. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is in heaven with Christ. That's where Christ is. And your life is hid with Christ in heaven. Then a fourth mark, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, Christ is your life. To me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Christ is everything. He's your heart's desire. He's your delight. It's your ambition to please Him. You're in love with Him. Christ is everything to you. Other people, their work is everything to them. Their business is everything to them. How much time they take thinking about their business. How they can make it grow. How they will make more money. How they will be successful. Their business is their God. But not you. Christ is your God. Other people, their pleasures are their God. Their entertainments, the music, the films, the TV, whatever they are, that take up their lives. Art. Drink. Drugs. Money. Work. Family. Gardens. Cars. People have different gods. Earthly gods. But you. You as a true Christian. Christ is everything. All the other things are just trivial trinkets. They mean nothing. And Christ means everything to you. He dominates your life. He fills your heart. You're in love with Christ. Christ, who is our life. To me, to live is Christ. That's a Christian, real Christian. One other mark of the Christian is hope. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You shall appear with Christ. You shall be with him in glory, because the future is heaven. It's glory. That's what you're looking forward to. Your great ambition. It's not to make money. It's not to get on in business, not to be promoted. It's not to have a wonderful family. It's not to be successful or popular or powerful. Your great ambition is to be with Christ, which is far better. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Your treasure is in heaven, not on this earth. You're passionately in love with Christ. He loved me and he gave himself for me. He died for me. And by God's grace, I'll die for him. He's your lover. And you're engaged to him. And you're longing to be united with Christ forever. Married to him for eternity. Christ is your hope. Is that true? Do you have these marks then of the Christian? Are you risen with Christ? You were dead, but now you're risen. Are you dead? Dead to sin. Is your life in heaven? Is Christ your life and the center of everything to you? And is your hope and your passion and your commanding ambition to be with Christ, to be with him forever? The marks of the true Christian. But then secondly, the implications of this change in life. First implication is that you seek. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand, on the right hand of God. You are in Christ and with Christ and have risen from the dead with Christ. He is in heaven. And so you seek to live a heavenly life as well. You are united to Christ and you seek those things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. What are the things that are above? The things that are at the right hand of God. What are the things that are in heaven? What are the heavenly things that you seek? What's heaven all about? Eating and drinking and making merry. No. Heaven's about worship. Worshipping God. All the pictures that we're given of heaven in the Bible involve worship. The throne of God. The angels around the throne. The saints bowing, worshipping. So then, if you are risen with Christ, Worship is something that should be so important in your life. Private worship, public worship, prayer. Pray, pray, pray. This morning, I woke with a prayer in my heart. I felt greatly encouraged with that. I wish it was like that every morning. That's the way it should be, isn't it? Praying at night, praying through the day, praying without ceasing. Always praying. Prayer is so important. You're risen with Christ. You're talking to God. You're involved with Him. You're praying to Him. Praying to Him in public, as well as in private. Join in on the prayer meeting. Our prayer meeting is not anything like as well attended as it should be. It's a bad reflection upon us and our interest in the things of God. Worship involves praise, thanking God for all His goodness. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. We're getting so many good things. Here we are, we're clothed, we're fed, we're warm. We've got so many blessings. We have a roof over our heads. Are we thanking God for these things? We have peace. We're not in the midst of war and turmoil and fear. What thanksgiving do we have? We take it all for granted, don't we? Give thanks to God. And thanks to God, not just for these things, but especially that He gave us His Son to be our Saviour. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came from heaven into this world and died for us. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. The gift of His Son. How we should be praising God. His glory, His majesty, His power, His love, His mercy, His long-suffering, His grace towards us. How we should be thanking Him for His goodness to us. Praising, thanking, praying, worshipping. In private, in families, together. Are these things the priorities in our lives? Or are they just add-ons? What does your neighbour think as he looks at you? What does your workmate think as they look at you? Do they think, just one of us, just one of the crowd, there's nothing special, nothing different? Or do they see, they're odd, they're strange. They've got no life. They're dead. That's the way it should be. We should be regarded by our unconverted neighbours as dead, without a life, because we've got a very different life. Hugely different priorities. Yes, if then you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Seek those things that are heavenly, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So that's the first thing. Seek. And then the second thing in verse 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your affections, your emotions, your heart, your delight upon heavenly things. Love God. Love God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. Love the Lord Jesus Christ. Love the Holy Spirit, the great friend, empowerer, encourager of God's people. A heart full of love, of joy, joy in God, peace, the peace of the Christian. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. Set your affections on those things. Love God. Love godly things. Love heavenly things. Love being a Christian. Love being a Christ-centered person. Set your affections. Set your delights. May your whole heart be in it. Are we giving our heart to trivial things? Is our whole heart in our work? Is our whole heart in our family? Is our whole heart in our entertainments and our pleasures? Or is our heart wholly in Christ and little bits given to these other sometimes important things but very minor in comparison to Christ? Set your affections, your emotions, your delights upon heavenly things. That's a second implication. Seek heavenly things. Set your affections on heavenly things. And then in verse 3, be dead. For you are dead. Be dead. Be dead to immorality. Be dead to immoral films and pornography and all the rest of it. Books and magazines that are ungodly and immoral and unclean. Be dead to filthy conversation. Be dead to ungodly music. Be dead to greed and lust and gluttony and drunkenness and drugs or whatever else it might be. Be dead to these things. Your pleasure is somewhere else. Be dead to worldly pleasures. So many people are lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, but you're dead. Be dead. Don't let pleasure, worldly pleasure, be your God. Christ is your God. For ye are dead. Ye are dead. The word says there's nothing wrong with a little bit of flirting. But what does God say? Be dead to these things. Are you dead to the things that the world sets its heart upon? And then fourthly, looking forward to heaven. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. This world is rubbish in comparison to heaven. It's trash. Do you count all things but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus your Lord? Are you seeking first Christ and God and the kingdom? Is there one thing needful in your hearts? The Lord Jesus, is that the one thing needful? Concerned about your own soul and the souls of others? Or is your heart set upon temporary passing things, the things of this world? Do you have that eternal perspective of somebody who is a pilgrim in this world, a sojourner on this earth? You're just going through this world. Your destiny is heaven, eternity with Christ, everlasting life in the kingdom beyond the grave. Looking forward to heaven. And then, verse 5, mortifying your members which are upon the earth. To mortify, that's to put to death. To put to death, to kill, to crush and destroy your members which are upon the earth, your fleshly, sinful, lustful, unclean, improper, immoral desires. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, all that's filthy, inordinate affection, lust, evil concupiscence, evil desires, covetousness and greed and jealousy, which is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. When you covet things, you covet houses, cars, money, what are you doing? You're making an idol of these things. And you're making these things to be so important. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Don't be striving after earthly riches. Be content with such things as you have. Mortify, putting to death. For which things' sake, verse 6, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Are you setting your heart upon things for which God is angry with the wicked? You walked in these things at one time, verse 7, but now you're dead to these things. Put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. A huge change has taken place in your life. You put off the old man with his deeds. Be new men, new women. You have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Be a new man, a new woman, in the image of Christ, in knowledge and righteousness and holiness. Put off all these things. Lie not one to another. Don't be liars. Don't be deceivers. Don't be pretenders. Don't be hypocrites. Put off these things. Don't tolerate them. You have put on the new man. Be new. Be Christ-like. The Christian is the opposite of what he once was. Be the opposite of your past. Give up all for Christ. Let your life be Christ-centered. Our little short lives, uncertain lives in this world, they're soon over. And so much that matters to us in this world, what will it matter when we come to die? And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, what will worldly things matter then? Don't be like the children of Israel. Remember them going through the wilderness to the promised land. And some among them were longing for the flesh pots of Egypt. Leave the flesh pots of Egypt behind. The slavery to sin and Satan and the devil, and all that Egypt can promise and give to us. What is that in comparison to the land flowing with milk and honey? What is this world to offer in comparison to pleasures at God's right hand? In love with Christ, enjoying our eternal Father, filled with the Holy Spirit forever. Are you a true Christian? Or are you just a pretend Christian? Are you just following along with others? Have you been converted? Born again? Filled with a new love and a new desire? Is Christ everything to you? Set your affections on things above. And if that's not true, remember, be converted tonight. Repent, believe, turn from your sins. Cry to the Lord for mercy. Cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you. He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest.